You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Friday's edition of the podcast where we're looking ahead to the action at Ayr at Newbury and also at Bath. It's a very busy day on Friday. Plenty of action to come and you'll hear it all live from 1:40pm on Racing Radio with myself, Sam Norris, joined by Gary Capewell and Rory Delaghi in the studio on Friday. But ahead of all the action, joining me to look ahead to four races and look back on the highlights from the Craven meeting is Mr. James Millman. How are you, James?
Yeah, not too bad, Samuel, thank you. Lots to look forward to. Started off at the flat season, just getting into gear now with the Craven week at Newmarket. And we still got some nice jump action, haven't we?
Yeah, we certainly do. The jump season is not yet over, of course. Got the Scottish Grand National meeting to come and Punchestown as well. I was saying this to Andrew Mount yesterday on the podcast, James. Do you feel the Craven meeting is the real signal of the start of the flat season for you, given there's that bit of a gap from the Lincoln
stage? Yeah, you've got, what is it, nearly 3 weeks from you between Doncaster, the Lincoln meeting, and when the racing properly gets going. There's not a lot of turf action in between, and we get to see that the new classic hopefuls out, really, generally, all making their returns this week, and it's been a fascinating week so far.
Yeah, it certainly has. It's good that we get these early classic trials as well. And we'll mention one that came up yesterday. We weren't able to touch on this on the podcast yesterday, but the Nell Gwyn going the way of Deban for John Gosden and Frankie Dettori, who I think rode his fourth winner in the race in as many years. Were you impressed with her performance?
Yeah, fourth win in seventh overall for Frankie in the Nell Gwyn. And Deban, very impressive. Only one win next to her name. She had one run at Kempton on New Weather last year where she was visually very, very impressive, but she was against some decent mares or fillies yesterday, and 12-1, that just sums up how strong a Nell Gwyn it was. There's a lot of well-fancied runners in the race, and still alone, I think, might have been a bit of a help. There seems to be those that have raced near the stand side have been at an advantage at Newmarket this week so far, but only a second start. I was really impressed the way she quickened up. And John Gosden's got a very, very useful filly on her hands, because, like I say, the Nell Gwyn looked a very, very strong renewal. You had Roly Poly representing by Doyle with Ryan Moore in the plate, as well as Brave Anna, who disappointed again. A filly that's very in and out, but did win at Royal Ascot and obviously won the Cheeley Park last year. Andrew Farb, very rare to see him come over for the trials meeting. And Pampel Mousset, or whatever you want to call it, finished fourth. That ran a nice race, and she'd been well touted. Sia Grace, first run for Woody Haggis, that ran well back in fifth. So I think it was a really strong race. A lot of strength and depth in the Nell Gwyn this year, and for me, certainly a very good trial for the 1,000 guineas in 2 weeks' time.
Yeah, certainly looks that way. With regards to Roly Poly, then, the favourite who finished seventh on the day, was that a disappointing run, or do you think she's just given her running? And
she looks small, Sam. Yeah. I'm not too sure how much she's going to train on Roly Poly. She had a very busy two-year-old campaign. She went off to Breeders' Cup, had a run over in America, finished about ninth, I think. She had a long season last year, and she's back out again very early. Aidan O'Brien can get them back, but scope-wise, she's not got a lot of it, so that'd be a little bit of a worry for me. Poet's Vanity, I haven't actually mentioned her. She ran a cracker to finish third for Oisin Murphy. She won her last two starts last year and wasn't given a hard time by Oisin. It's just that she will improve as the season goes on. And Forgettable Filly, she ran well back in second for Hugo Palmer, but I think she is a little exposed. But a fascinating race. Deban, very impressive, and certainly heads the list for the 1,000 guineas for me.
Okay. Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned the size there of Roly Poly and the fact that she was very busy last season as a two-year-old. Is that the general rule with these smaller types?
If you're smaller, smaller and sharper, like yourself,
make
Sam.
While the sun shines.
Exactly. Yeah. When the bigger horses develop and get stronger, they generally progress past the slightly smaller ones. And Roly Poly did not look to have strengthened up much from 2 to 3, so that would be my concern with her.
Yeah, we saw this, of course, with the likes of Memas last season. Small horse, but had a fantastic two-year-old campaign.
And they just put him straight to stud.
Never looked an inch of three-year-old, did
exactly,
it?
But they gave him a busy campaign because of it, because they knew that he wasn't really going to progress much from 2 to 3. Whereas if you have a nice type for a three-year campaign, you're not going to ever race at a two.
Yeah. Okay, let's look back on the final day of the Craven meeting as well. Then the two big group races on the final day, the Thursday. The first one, the Abernathy Stakes over 6 furlongs. That went the way of Brando, who was sent off even money. Favourite for Kevin Ryan. Had plenty of ticks in boxes before the race, but you still got to go and win, and you still got to go and put in the performance, James. And that is very much what he did.
Definitely very impressive was Brando. He wasn't a strong renewal this year of the Abernathy. Normally you get a big field. Last year Magical Memory won the contest, but this year it was pretty weak. Only 6 runners, and Brando was sent off an even money favourite, so he should win. But the runner-up, Ornate Glotter, a cracking ride from Ryan Moore, kicked on at a very early stage, and I thought he might just have stolen it, but he probably needed to run on first start for Robert Cowell. But Brando picked up the pieces quite nicely. Looked very professional, won as he pleased. Kevin Ryan's team perhaps could be in slightly better form, yeah. So the fact that he won is a positive A for the yard and just for his well-being for this year. So Brando was impressive and could be a leading sprinter if nothing emerges from the three-year-olds.
Okay, that was the Abernathy. The big race then of the three-day meeting, of course, is the Craven, and that went the way of Eminent this year for Martin Meaden, Jim Crowley doing the steering, an 8-1 chance, the son of Frankel, James, who remains unbeaten, and unlike a lot of Frankels, this one doesn't look quite as wired as some of them.
No, wired is a good word to use for the Frankels. They are generally pretty uncontrollable.
Yeah.
I know Seventh Heavens we saw yesterday in the free handicap, he was pretty much out of control with Frankie Dettori. But this one actually looks nice and settled. Jim Crowley riding for Martin Meade and Eminent. Seriously impressive him because, like I say, he is actually relaxed in the early stages and all he does is gallop. He's got that stride which Frankel had and used to such great effect. And he was really impressive because he beat River, who won the Race and Post Trophy last year, Group 1 winner. And a decent horse in his own right last year. Also won the Group 2 Champagne Stakes. He seemed to handle the track on this occasion. No excuses. Racing similar sides of the track. He was just beaten by a better horse at the end of the day. And I really do like Eminent. He may lack a little bit of speed, perhaps. Connections do think he could be even better over further. So that perhaps could be a slight concern in the 2,000 guineas. But for me, he sets a very high standard. I was very, very impressed. War Decree, once again, a son of Warfront, appears not to have trained on. Very disappointing for Aidan O'Brien and Ryan Moore. He was back strongly in the morning, suggests that at home they thought he had done, but on the track, unfortunately, he showed very little sparkle.
Want to take out of the race, James. I thought Ben Battle ran well for Sybin Straw. Was a really impressive winner on debut. Given this is only his second career start, did a hell of a lot wrong and has still ran a really respectable race to finish third.
Ran well back in third. Hopefully he got off and don't run him too much. Josephine Gordon actually got the pleasure of riding him the first time, and he was an impressive winner at Doncaster. Would have been nice to have seen a capable ride, but Sester Souza on board and run an absolute cracker back in third. But like I say, he's no Eminent.
Yeah, word on the winner then, and his price is going forward. A 12-1 chance, which is top price with us here at William Hill. If you fancy him for the 2,000 guineas, he's going to have to improve again, James, you would think.
I'm not a bad price though, Sam. If he was trained by anybody else, he would be shorter.
Sure, yeah.
I think actually 10-1 now, Sam.
10-1, there you go. So the 12-1 has already been gobbled up.
Snapped up, unfortunately. I would have said he was value at 12-1.
Caravaggio,
we don't know what kind of form he is, and we haven't seen him since June when he destroyed the field at Royal Ascot. And I was seriously impressed with him at Royal Ascot. I thought he was a bit of a machine, but obviously we've not seen him since. So that's a massive question mark. Churchill was solid, but not spectacular. And 11-8, he deserves to be favourite. But Eminent should not be as big a price as that. I think a 10-1 is just because Martin Meade, not as big a name, but so far he's done an absolutely cracking job with his son of Frankel. Albuquerque was very impressive over in France. Again, not too sure how that form translates, but he was impressive. But no, Eminent impressed, to be honest.
Yeah, connections as well with Eminent. If it carried the Coolmore silks or the Godolphin silks or the Khalid Abdullah silks again, do you think it would be a good bit
just
shorter?
Just the connections. He's not fashionable.
No.
Martin Meade, but he might well soon be. He did a good job of Irish Rookie, the only other horse that kind of calibre that he's trained. And this one, I'll say, nope, so far so good.
Yeah, looks to have a nice one in the shape of Eminent. Then we'll turn our attention forward to look at some of the races on Friday. We've got one from Ayr, one from Bath, and a couple from Newbury picked out as the Greener meeting gets underway at Newbury. We'll go through these in chronological order. We'll begin with the race at Ayr, then, which comes up at 3:50. A listed handicap chase upcoming here over 2.5 miles. 28.5 grand on offer to the winner. And a good field, James, but plenty who've had long old seasons.
Yeah, all a bit of exposed, which for much to sign, yeah. 50 grand. That's not the most classy race. There's nothing that's unexposed and seriously catches my eye. Yeah. Two Tafts has had a good season. Just struggling a little bit with the odd handicapper is Dan Skelton's runner. But the team, Dan Skelton's team, are in slightly better form now than what they were mid-season. That could just see a little bit of improvement. Dave Russell comes over for the ride. And that's a really eye-catching jockey book in there. So Two Tafts, I wouldn't be surprised if that one improved. Warriors Tales had a good season, won his last two starts pretty impressively for Paul Knuckles. Sean Bowen taking around, just concerned the handicapper might have got hold of him. Cat Gary, likely race individual for Pauline Robson. He's interesting enough, it represents the Northern team trying to keep the race up the north. Obviously, you've got Nick Henderson, Paul Knuckles, Dan Skelton, Venetia Williams, Philip Hobbs, trainers which are very, very difficult to beat, and they may just have better handicap horses, but certainly Cole Gary represents the north. But I'm going to stick with Two Tafts. He won at the track a few seasons ago. Dan Skelton's in much better form now, and he's the one for me.
Okay, Two Tafts then gets the nod for James. Very interesting, I thought, that Davey Russell comes over for the ride, given that Harry Skelton is riding at Ayr tomorrow.
Yeah. He does retain by the owners, Di Walters, who owns Foss Lass.
Yeah.
Which would be why Harry's got the jock off.
Okay, fair enough. That's Two Tafts then, the selection in the 350 at Ayr. We go to Newbury then for their 410, which is the next race on the podcast, the 7 furlong handicap upcoming here. It's a Class 2 event with a big field down to contest this. And I suppose, James, we better start with horse number 13, Glory of Paris, for the Millman Stable.
Yeah, I think he's a really, really nice horse for the future. Unfortunately, the handicapper went a bit OTT when you won at Kempton. He got put up £11.
You've not been best impressed with that handicap.
Not happy,
so
no.
Far,
I was disappointed with that, Sam.
Yep.
Which means he's been forced into this contest because there was a few easier targets we had in mind. But unfortunately, the handicapper said, nope, you can step up in grade. And unfortunately, these kind of three-odd handicaps, they are very, very competitive because Eminent, who won the Craven, was only rated 86 or 87. So he could have been in this race. And obviously, he's not an Eminent. Obviously, he'd be
in the Guineas.
In the Guineas. But you never know what you're going to get. And you've got a horse like Chessman, who is a one start, one win on New Weather for John Gosden. One start, one win on New Weather. It's the same profile Daban had, who won a Nell Gwynn. So we don't have a clue, really, how much these horses are trained on from two to three. Gloria Paris was very well handicapped when he won last time. Unfortunately, handicap has taken that away. Now, it'll be a big price tomorrow because it is such a field full of unexposed horses. And I certainly wouldn't put you off each way, especially if there's 17 runners because you get first four places.
Yep.
But actually a race in trying to tell you which three-year-olds trained on best is impossible because actually, looking at the deck, there's only Jewel in the Crown, Abatement, Gloria Paris, Zamjar, and a few at the bottom have actually run as a three-year-old. Yep. You know that are fit and well. So really, it's a bit of a minefield. Listen to Ken Pedersen. His views on how they've done over the winter. But I do like Gloria Paris, so I will be putting him up each way in what's a very tricky contest.
Okay, Gloria Paris then for James. Could well be a big price in that 410 race at Newbury. We stay in Newbury then half an hour later. The 440 sprinters in action this time. 5 furlongs a trip for a handicap here. What did you make of this lineup?
Yeah, a few more solid exposed performances than what we're going to get here. Paul Vinny would be interesting if the ground was a little bit softer, but I mean, it's going to be very, very quick at Newbury on Friday. So I'm going to go for one that had a great season last year. Duke of Ferenc for David Griffiths. He had a real good tune out of him last year, and he's a decent type of horse. So Duke of Ferenc is the one for me. David Griffiths had a cracking season and won very nicely at York, and he continued running well in some really strong races. Back into a handicap, and that isn't the most competitive. Normally, you see a few more runners than this. Only 8 runners, so I'm going to stick with Duke of Ferenc. Double up. He is consistent last year, especially as soon as he takes a ride for Roger Varian. If he's fit and ready to go, he'll certainly be dangerous from stall 5. One that you know is fit is Bosun Fred for Mick Easterby. He's the only one that's actually had a recent run, and he's interesting as well from a yard at having a few winners at the moment.
Okay, Duke of Ferenc, the selection then
selection.
The 440?
Yep.
And we'll go to Bath then for the final race on the podcast. This is the 6 o'clock race at Bath. Feature race tonight there is a listed fillies sprint. And we've got a field of 13 at time of recording who are lining up for this. What did you make of the fillies?
Well, despite the fact we're only in the middle of April, we've had no rain for a fair while now. And Bath are unable to water. And the ground does get very, very quick at Bath. It's firm ground there tomorrow.
Yep.
it is uphill, but it's not ideal. 40 grand listed prize means we have still got a field of 13, but be prepared to see a few non-runners there. A few might be taken out, but a really, really interesting race. Priceless had a cracking year last year. Clive Cox has started the year in really, really good form. This is the top rated of the race by quite a way, rated 105. Is penalised, got the £3 penalty, but deserves it. As long as it has a quicker ground, I think Clive Cox run has got an excellent chance and it should be off the mark. So Priceless is the selection. One to keep an eye on, though, Evil Spell. First run for Sprint King Robert Cowell. Runs in the Qatar Bloodstock colours. This one was trained in Italy the last two seasons and won a few group races over there. Hard to know exactly how the form will equate over here, but Robert Cowell is a master of sprinters and that one is interesting. Those that are high in the ratings, you've got Buying Troubles 98, but had a bit of a disappointing spell on the all-weather. Imtiaz, that could be interesting. Roger Varian's get this one in training. Only rated 89, but you'd imagine that would be fit and ready to go from maybe an each-way point of view, but Priceless is the selection.
Okay, Priceless gets the nod then in that feature race at Bath at 6 o'clock for James. Just give us a quick recap, please, if you would, of your four selections for the races we've looked at.
Yep, that air we've gone for the Dan Skelton train, two tasks. He's had a consistent season, but with a yard in better form, tomorrow might be the day he gets off the mark. At Newbury, the 410, a really tricky three-year-old handicap. We have gone for Gloria Paris, my dad's horse, because I do think he's an improving three-year-old. Unfortunately, the handicap has already taken a load of an improvement away from him with a £11 rise last time, but he's an each-way chance in a big field. 440, Duke of Thurens had a cracking season for David Griffiths last year. Slightly easier race than he has been running in. He's interesting. And then finally, in the Lister race at Bath, we're keeping it simple, Clive Cox is Priceless.
Excellent stuff. There we are, the thoughts of James Millman ahead of the racing on Friday. You can hear it all live from 1:40 p.m. with myself, Gary Capel and Rory Delaghi in the William Hill Racing Radio studio. There is plenty of it on Friday. We'd love you to join us for all of that. James, thank you very much and best of luck with Glory of Paris on Friday.
No worries.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.